Will Gallows and the Thunder Dragons Roar, written by Derek Kilty and read by Daniel Hill.
Chapter 1. Dangerous Ground. It was a chilly afternoon, but Yanani, my grandma, sat by the broken window in her rocking chair. It was the same place she'd been sitting when Jez and I had visited her last week. It was as though she hadn't moved. Over her shoulders, she wore a black shawl, and her silky gray hair hung down to her waist. Dark, troubled eyes stared out from wizened, yellowish-green skin, rough as ogre hide.
"Told you not to be looking in so often," she croaked.
I took off my hat, straightening the feather that stuck out from the side of the crown. "Yep, you did, Grandma. And I told you I'll keep returning till you see sense and leave with me."
"It's too dangerous for you to keep coming back here, Will. There are big rock quakes every day now."
"Exactly, Grandma. So all the more sense why it's time you were leaving. A broken window this week. What will it be next week? The roof caving in?" She sighed, kicking back on the rocking chair that creaked like a pair of old Sky cowboy boots.
"Quakes will blow over. You wait and see."
"You know that's not going to happen, Grandma. It's been 6 months since the High Sheriff said we all had to evacuate the Western Arm, and the quakes have only been getting worse. Pretty soon the whole arm's going to break away into the wastelands, and if you don't come with me now, you'll be falling down there along with it." Grandma pulled her shawl tighter.
"Stuff and nonsense, boy. You listen to too many stories. I'm an elf, and Phoenix Creek's my home, and no High Sheriff's going to order this elf to leave it. I'm telling you, like I've told you before, I'm not budging. High Sheriff's making a lot of fuss over nothing."
"It's not a lot of fuss, Grandma. All that illegal gold mining's weakened the heart of the rock. Engineers say there's nothing they can do to save it. I know how you feel.
I'm an elf, too. Half-elf,"
she corrected me. "All right, I'm a half-elf. But I love this place just as much as you do, Grandma. Broke my heart to leave. But it just ain't safe to stay here any longer. You're the last living soul left here, Grandma, and time's running out." But by now I knew I was wasting my breath. Her mouth was set, and she was rocking back and forth, humming to herself like she'd forgotten I was even there. It was the same argument we'd been having for months, and I felt like we were going round in circles.
"You hungry, ma'am? I'll make us some lunch," a voice called from the kitchen.
My friend Jez poked her head into the room. She'd obviously been listening and thought it was time to step in, as I was getting nowhere with Grandma.
"I brought some stew. Made it myself from an old dwarf recipe. Ma used to make it all the time. And I got some of that choke cherry pie you like," she said, unpacking the basket of food she carried in with her.
Jez and I had met a year before, when she'd helped me track down the man who murdered my pa. Jez was good in a fight, and, apart from my horse Moonshine, she was the best friend I had on the whole of the Great West Rock. She worked in the fort kitchen in Mid-Rock City, and usually gathered up as much food as she could when she knew we were visiting my grandma.
"You don't have to fuss with bringing so much, Jez," Grandma smiled. "It's very kind of you, though, because I ain't got the heart to bake pies anymore."
"I like fussing. Besides, with all the stores closed down in Oretown, there's nowhere for you to buy food."
"Yes, what have you been eating?" I asked. "I'm getting by just fine. I've been on this rock for a long time, way before there were any stores parceling up food they charge far too much money for. Tyrone and you might have moved all the cattle and horses out east, but you didn't pull up the vegetables or cut down the apple trees."
But Grandma didn't look like she was getting by. She was thinner every time we visited. "What if the roof does come down on top of you during a night quake? Then what?" Yanani directed a skinny arm through the air.
"This part of the ranch house is holding together just fine, testament to your pa's fine building work."
Pa had built most of Phoenix Creek with his bare hands, and he'd constructed it well, although like most of the buildings on the Western Arm, the quakes were starting to take their toll.